Hey everybody, welcome back to Freestyle. This is Chuck Tomasi, and Freestyle is my audio blog of sorts. Not really related to anything other than giving you a look behind all the other podcasts that I do. And there are quite a few. It's been a busy past couple of weeks, and you know, Craig Stepp and I, who Craig does Technorama with me, if you don't know, Craig and I, we put the Technorama weekly show to bed about first weekend in May, I think it was, and have not really taken a rest since then. In fact, in some ways, it seems like we've been more busy, which was just completely opposite of what we had tried. We had a great time at the New Media Expo in Las Vegas in August. I know I haven't talked to you regular listeners in quite a while. In fact, you're probably shocked to hear my voice on this thing again. For those of you who have heard Technorama, I won't bore you with this, but we had sort of a working holiday vacation thing going on. Both of us brought our wives, and that was, well, for me, it was the reasoning behind that was Donna's and my 20th wedding anniversary, which comes up next week. Boy, that sneaks up quick. I don't feel like we've been married 20 years, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful time with her since then. I've also gotten the done various audio tours and things in mid-September. Went out and saw a wind generator project put on by We Energies called the Blue Sky Greenfield Wind Farm. About 80 wind generators out there. Very fascinating stuff. We also did the Hoover Dam when we were in Vegas and Star Trek Experience, both of those. Hoover Dam is just now being released in the Technorama feed, but Star Trek was released on the 2nd and the 9th. So those were a lot of fun. Looking forward, we've got Donna and I have a cruise coming up in January, and trying to think of a way to turn that into Technorama material. I'm going to see if I can get in touch with the cruise company and see if I can arrange an audio tour of that as well. I know last time in 2005, when I was still a fledgling podcaster, I brought the laptop along and did some balcony, what do they call it, the veranda, I'm drawing a blank. I know what, the balcony, I sat out there and gave kind of regular updates, and then I'd upload them. I may do that again, but I'd really like to just have some fun and see things that most of the other passengers don't see. And then forming up some thoughts with Craig later on next summer for things we might get together and do. We've got two or three ideas rattling around in my head on that. Been helping out with Variant Frequencies. Rick Stringer over at variantfrequencies.com gave me a script to read. First one in, I think about a year, and said, here, you get the whole thing. It's a short story, about 2,500 words, called Best in Class by Jonathan C. Gillespie. Oh, pardon me. I think my phone is interfering if you hear that. That is what it is. Probably just connecting up to the network and syncing again. Hey, I don't have to edit it out of this. This is raw from the hip. You get what I get. The Jonathan C. Gillespie, I said, what would you like? And he said, you get to read all the parts, the narrator, the main character. So it was challenging because I was sick for a couple of weeks, which actually lent itself well to the flavor of the story, because it's like one of these post-apocalyptic things, and the sore throat lent itself to that. I did all the production. I couldn't help myself. I asked Rick if he wanted me to do the narration and, you know, production, how far I could go, and he said, take it off however far you want. So I kind of gave him a finished package. Had a little bit of tweaking afterwards, which wasn't a big problem, and took care of that. Originally, this was supposed to come out in December, but he liked it so much he wants to move it up. So maybe October, maybe November. Don't know. In the meantime, I had an idea for a short science-based fiction story that still framing it up. And I'd like to contribute that to Variant Frequencies as well. Don't know who's going to read it or narrate it or anything, but this is the first time I've done any writing like this, and certainly quite an adventure. It's sort of liberating and educational at the same time. I just think it's a real treat. Although I have to admit, I don't really know what I'm doing or how to approach it. Started with a kernel of an idea and ran it past Rick and see what he thought. And he got his wife, Ann, involved, who does quite a bit of the writing for their show, either directly or in a partnership. And he said, Ann would love to kind of mentor you through this. And she's done an awesome job. She really picked my brain and caused me to think about certain areas. So having a fun time framing that up, I started writing the introduction, or the first, well, chapter, if you will. Not a real long story, because I do want it to fit within the 30 to 40 minute constraints of their show. If it turns out longer than that, well, maybe there's a different venue to get that out on. But looking for that, come out around the holiday time frame. We'll have to tweak it and tune it and record it. And well, I shouldn't say that's when I'll have it ready written. I don't know what Rick's production schedule is like, but would love it if he could carry it. And if he thinks it's worthy. Obviously there's a certain level of quality that they uphold, and that's the challenge that I've got. Always got to have a goal, don't you? The Gmail podcast, still producing one of those about a month, once a month. Last month was the not spam feature and a slight bug in Gmail that some people found. Subscribe to a couple of Gmail mailing lists and get some goodies off of there, and read the help files in the blog. So keeping on top of that one, but it's just not as frequent, because I've gone through most of the common features. And every once in a while, somebody comes up and says, hey, did you ever cover this? And it's a real basic, obvious thing. So I'm thinking maybe it's time to go back to the beginnings, because a lot of things have changed over the last 3 years since I started the podcast. Yeah, it's been that long. I started that in the end of 2005. And maybe go through and just do kind of a basics, getting started with Gmail, what you need to know, and kind of make that sticky on the blog to keep near the top. So when people are looking for stuff, they can find a good tutorial. Interestingly enough, neither of the traffic for Technorama since we quit the weekly show has not dropped off. And Gmail continues to grow at a nice steady pace. Not doing enough marketing on any of this stuff, which kind of has me bummed. But you know, I like to explore other areas and let, you know, like the writing, and let the podcast do what they do on their own. I'm not in this for the money. I'm in it to kind of learn and explore and see where my interests take me. One of the questions I've been giving some thought to is, why do I podcast? Some of it was to learn a new skill. Some of it is to market myself and see what I've got and show what I've got. And now there's always the challenge of take on something new. And if it clicks, do your best. Go over the top. Do it all. And certainly hope I've done that, which leads to things like the Podcasting for Dummies book. Did a audio podcast on that one too. We were kind of on a hiatus over the summer months, but T has come back and released a recent show on where to learn more at expos and cons and things and books. I've got one in the can and ready to go on audio terms. That was a bit challenging because we have an enhanced podcast that includes pictures. And how do you include a picture on something like a stinger? Well, I cheated and I threw in a picture of a scorpion. So that's a stinger. It's got a stinger. An ID or a tag or an intro or an outro, bumpers. Well, bumpers are kind of cheated there too. I used the picture of a car. Of course, try finding a picture or taking a picture of a rear bumper of a car without getting the license plate. That's more tricky than it sounds. If you want a good picture, ooh, could use some water on this thing. The book is out, Podcasting for Dummies, second edition. It's been out since early August, late July. I have not gone into a Barnes & Noble or a Borders or anything and seen it on a store shelf, but I do know that it's on Amazon and you can order it. And I asked about sales a few weeks ago, and sales have been kind of where they were for the first edition. They didn't really spike. Kind of think that Wiley missed the boat on some of the marketing. It was released without a whole lot of fanfare. T and I didn't really have much marketing to do at the New Media Expo in August. We had some sheets, but you know, where do you set those out? We didn't have a booth. We didn't have a table to do signings. And I was kind of looking forward to that and didn't really get to do that. Radio yesterday, I missed a lot in July and August, but have brought back, actually, I think I missed September too. So it's not dead. It's coming back. There's a long 20-part series called Journey into Space. Kind of a serial that was running. They had three or four that I found in my collection of the Journey into Space. This one is 20 episodes long, called The Red Planet. It's about these people going to Mars in every episode. Kind of like the TV shows today. There's an overarching story, but each episode you could watch and sit down and kind of get the flavor of it. So something new, trying something new in radio yesterday rather than just September, I'll throw out four Supermans or four Batmans or four Lone Rangers or whatever. See how this goes. Might go back to the X1 series in a little bit when this is done in February-ish time frame. Also on the writing side, I've got starting to work on a new book. It's not podcasting related, but I am hoping to leverage the fact that the Dummies book is out there and I've got my name on a published work, that I can have an easier inroad to this next book. I'm not going to share the topic of it quite yet. There's still some things that I need to work out with my partner. It is a joint effort, and we're kind of taking it low and slow. As you can probably guess, there's a whole bunch of other things competing for time, but this one fills a few hours on the weekends. Just started writing it, and again, I'll share more later. My agent from the Dummies book has the proposal. She's going to shop it around or see what's out there that we can leverage, see if there's any interest in it. And if so, well, that'll speed up the time frame for getting it written. In the meantime, we'll just keep cranking along slowly on the content. And if somebody does pop up, we'll go, hey, we got a 50% drafted already. Let's have some fun. On the family front, Lisa's got a cat. Yeah, we got a family pet. This is the first one. Oh, gosh, I think in probably 10 years. We had some fish a while ago, but couldn't really keep too good a care with them. Never could keep the tank clean, no matter what kind of suckers or algae eaters and things we bought. The thing would always turn black in a few weeks. Just really gross and a lot of maintenance. But we came home one Thursday night, and Lisa was on the telephone with her friend and asked, Mom, Dad, can I have a cat? This was end of August time frame, and she had been jonesing for a cat all summer. We said, well, we can think about it. Well, my friend Jasmine has one, and she needs to either give it away soon or it goes to the pound. Well, after a little bit of digging, we found out soon meant we have to pick it up, or actually they'll drop it off in a few minutes. And she had to go to karate that night. So, we agreed reluctantly, because in the past I've had allergic reactions to cats and wasn't too keen on the cat idea. Dog would have been even more of a challenge for us to get. Who's going to take care of it during the day, and who's going to walk it in the morning? Because Lisa's not a morning person. We got this cat. It was 8 months old when we got it. Little black thing, female. And on the way home, we stopped and picked up the necessary supplies, cat box and kitty litter and a collar and whatnot. And she's just fitting so well with the family. Her name's Holly. Skinny little black thing. A couple weeks ago, we had her fixed and declawed because she was chewing up all the new woodwork that we did in the house. And everybody's grown attached to her. She's a little sneak. She's got her own little personality. She tries getting outside, loves to go outside, but she's really an indoor cat. If she does run away, she doesn't go very far. But you never really can't seem to catch her, because every time you get close, she gets away. So last week, we bought her a leash, which I think looks ridiculous on a cat. But hey, if it keeps her from running away and gets her out for some fresh air, that's fine too. Lisa's just got to keep up with the commitment to take care of it and feed it and clean the cat box and whatnot. So we're all kind of pitching in. Great little cat. We're glad she's part of the family. What else have we got? I did scribble down some notes. This isn't all just freeform consciousness. Work. I am just having a blast. I am about 3 months into this 6-month project to re-insource our help desk, or as I'm now terming it, the service desk. We've had a relationship with a company for about 4 years. Originally, they did call taking and dispatching and first level support. They actually had some of our employees rehired by them, but a couple of years into that, it didn't work out, and we brought the employees back, and now it's just a call taking and dispatching. But the relationship has not gone where we wanted it to, and customer satisfaction and IT satisfaction has just not been where we had hoped. So we're bringing it back in. This was announced late February, early March. So I threw my hat in the ring, and apparently I was the only contender. Got the job just before we went to Hawaii in June, and started the position in mid-July after I had trained a replacement. Just been loving it. The first 3 months has been planning, assessing, technology review to figure out what we're doing for the software for a call center. Now we're getting to the purchasing part. The staffing plan is in place, and I'm doing some hiring, reading lots of resumes every week, phone screens, and hope to have a couple of the people starting as soon as October 13th. So that's going to be exciting. I'm going to go from a manager of, 12 people before, including a dotted line report from Malaysia, and down to zero, and we'll be building that up in the next two months, to back to eight. So it's been fun concentrating on nothing but one project, albeit that project involves tools, staff, facilities, processes, the customer assessments, the IT, even some fun stuff. I generated a little new icon to represent the service desk, and this past week I sent out an email to all of IT globally to name the icon. It looks like one of those, I don't know if you've ever seen Skype or Microsoft Communicator, you know, the sort of the faceless spearheaded, with the half a body and the shine on the body and the head to kind of give them a 3D look. That's what it looks like. Light blue head, sort of a darker body. And then I put a call center headset on him, or him or her, whatever you want to call this thing. And put a speech bubble out the left side with a smiley face in it to indicate that we speak happy thoughts. Hooked up with a colleague who over at Kimberly Clark, and she's agreed to be my mentor for this. Read a book called How to Talk to Customers. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it if you're in a service-based industry. Just a terrific, terrific book. It's going to feed well into the candidate selection, the employee selection, the employee reviews, the training. A lot of good stuff in there on how to turn an ordinary call center experience into a great call center experience. And it's not rocket science, and I would say most people with an aptitude for service do fairly well at this, but there's a few points that you can polish up. For example, my phone greeting. I normally pick it up on an external call, even an internal call, and say, what did I say? Afternoon, this is Chuck, or Plexus, this is Chuck. I think I've already told you who I work for a number of times, but so there. So the proper way that this book recommends is to say some warm words of greeting, say who you are and what department or what company, and ask how you may help. Not can I help you, but how may I help? So, you know, this would go more like, good afternoon, Plexus IT. This is Chuck Tomasi. How may I help you? So the person knows who they've got. They're asking for help. You go, boy, that takes a long time to say. Yes, but it's very complete. There's no choice of no chance of ambiguity. So you go, hello, this is Eric. You know, you can get that taken care of. Similar to the in the same line, I joined HDI, which is the Help Desk Institute. There's a local chapter, and they were looking for a VP of communications, somebody to send the newsletters and the mailings and take minutes at the meetings. They have a monthly meeting. The chapter has been kind of languishing the last few months. They don't meet over the summer, but really hasn't been any serious activity since April. And I stepped up and filled that role, so I've got to do that for a couple of years to maintain the position. But I think, A, it's going to look good on the resume, and B, it helps out the local community and gets our company name in there as a contributor. I don't just want to sit in the back to this thing. If somebody needs help and I've got the talent to do it, I certainly want to do that. So looking to do some training on ITIL, the IT Information Library. People in the UK IT field may know about this. It's a bunch of standards and best practices around the IT process. You know, I think what's so hard about wait for the call and go fix something or do a software upgrade. But when you start to get to thousands of employees around the world, the processes really start to matter. How do you do upgrades without impacting? And if it's a 24/7 company, when is your maintenance window? And how is your communications handled? How are production releases done such that you can track them? And when there's regulations and compliance that has to be adhered to, like Sarbanes-Oxley, it really gets to be a major undertaking. So I'm going to training for that and should be certified after a three-day course on what they call foundations, and then there's practitioner level, and then there's manager level. My long-term vision is to employ this throughout our 120-person IT department at our company. So I've got a major career thing in front of me to champion that, and also in terms of a career path, I want to expand the service desk role to include external services as well. We are a contract electronics manufacturer, which means we don't have direct products that we sell, but we are starting to look at doing return goods authorizations and repairs down the road. So we would have to interface with our customers and need to figure out same kind of thing, tools, technology, processes, staffing needs for all of that. So that's what would help propel me from manager to director level, which means I got to have succession planning on my mind as I hire these new employees now. Just a lot of good stuff to think about. It's a very exciting time. Very excited about work. Just to finish up about ITIL, the processes include incident management, where you actually have a break-fix kind of problem, and then extend into problem management, where a series of incidents may be indicative of a process problem or a technology problem or something of that nature, and then includes config management, all about the configuration items, servers and printers and laptops and cell phones that are out there and how they interact and how upgrades are done, change management, which is about software and replacing servers and things, systemic changes. And it ties all these things together with service level agreements and reporting such that it's a grouping, it's a way of doing your IT business. And I know we've evolved some of these pretty good to date over the last 8 to 10 years since IT's really been taken seriously and grouped together. But there's a number of things I think we can learn and employ. But again, it's a cultural change in many respects, and it's going to take years just to turn these things around and take out the bad habits and put in the good ones and really provide a whole better level of service. If there's anyone listening that has more experience with ITIL or has been ITIL certified, drop me an email. I'd love to talk to you about this some more and find out what the practical application actually looks like of this stuff. So I'm winding down, and as I was writing the last couple of weeks, I thought some things to think about. Actually, I think I caught this one when I was listening to the radio. Where do superheroes go when they get old? You know, think about it. Superman was, it came out like, what, in the 30s? So that's almost 80 years ago. And he was, well, a kid when he came to Earth in the story. But he's getting along in years. Not in the movies, but if you took a natural timeline of this thing, where would Superman go? And Batman, he was, in the 40s, I think? And Batman came out in the late 30s, too. Apologize for all you hardcore graphic novel geeks. But the villains are getting old, too. You know, Lex Luthor can't be a spring chicken, and he's got to adhere to the laws of physics as well, too. I was thinking there's got to be a story for somebody like Mer Lafferty in there about old superheroes and old villains and what they do in their spare time. You know, are they in a superhero supervillain home? Do the two homes have a competition? Have they trained any proteges? Have their proteges done anything? This kind of gets back to where I started. Having the organization to keep all of the work and family stuff in order frees up the mind to explore imaginary things like this, and really, it's quite enriching, fulfilling to be able to explore new areas and learn new things. So this has been an awful long freestyle, and I thank you for getting all the way to the end. If you want to drop me an email and comment on anything said here, or just say, hey, welcome back. I know it's been a while. This was the inaugural freestyle on the new Zoom H2. Should make it easier to crank these out, but it's all a matter of time and finding a secluded moment to just sit back and drop some thoughts. You'd think that would be easy, but it's really not these days. In fact, right now I've got to run back inside and make sure everybody's happy and finishing up their homework for the weekend. And with that, I wish you all the best. Take care. And until next time, a 101.